Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I am sitting here with Thomas Patrick Dorion.
Hello.
Venerable Tom.
Hello.
So glad you're here.
Thanks for having me.
We don't have Ziggy.
Rodeo.
Yeah,
clown.
Rodeo clown school. I think he's. This is like rodeo clown graduate school.
Yeah.
It's like they I go get.
He has to present a thesis.
Wow.
I would love to see how that goes. Yeah.
Well, we wish him well, and I'm sure he'll report on it when he comes back. But we do wish him well. So we are going to, I got an interesting text from a friend of mine. I'm not going to say who he is, but he's in this room with me.
And his initials are.
That out of the blue, there was this kind of like, hey, Deej, that's what you call me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
I hope everybody else starts calling you that now. That'd
Deej?
Be funny. Yeah. It's spelled D-E-E-J.
D-E-E-J, which is like you made up your own word. I'm honored to have that word.
Oh, good.
You
You're
know, because it could have been worse.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
It could have been worse. But
yeah, that's short for Deacon Jeff.
That's right, and I appreciate that. I do know that.
You're pulling it up.
I'm pulling up the text.
Okay.
Because it's like it wasn't long. It wasn't a long involved text. Holy cow.
Most of my texts are pretty short, succinct, to the point. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, you don't, you know, you're not a, you don't like you post on the, you don't post on Facebook.
I don't like, I very rarely post
In fact,
on Facebook.
Your posts on Facebook, in fact, your very last one said, I don't like posting on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I hate it. I think I said I hate it.
You might have.
Yeah.
You might have. But it's like, I can't find it anymore.
I can find it.
Yeah, it was like, but it was like, it was just a little short thing.
I love that we're trying to stall for everybody right now. This is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. Have we ever done a show on the various doubts that creep into our minds as practicing Catholics? Am I the Lone Ranger in that regard?
Yeah.
First of all, I love your reference to the Lone Ranger.
Can't, you know.
You know, and so I think
Tonto,
that's
you got to have it all.
Yeah. And I think all I did was to like, you know, great show idea. You are not alone in that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm see how I consoled you and made you feel really good in my text back to you. No, but it's like,
and here we are.
As simple as that little text is. And, my text back to you was great show idea. Mm-hmm. Because, it just, one of those things that struck a chord with me, because it's one of the things I've always got, you know, when you're clergy, a mutual friend of ours taught me something. He was a former pastor in Protestant church, became Catholic.
Hmm.
And he said, Deacon Jeff, always be ready to preach, pray, and die.
Oh, I know who that is.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Durant.
Yeah.
And I've always, like, I loved that. Yeah, you always got to be ready to die. You got to be right with the Lord. That's mm-hmm. That's one thing, certainly. You know, but you've always got to be ready to preach and to pray. Someone's going to say, in fact, it's happened
we
a couple times over the weekend.
The other day.
Someone turns to the clergy. Where do we have any clergy in here? You need to, can you bless the food? You know, you always be ready to pray. You always got to be able to drop a prayer, you know, and so you always got to have one in your back pocket, but also preach. Mm-hmm. A couple of times I had when I was first ordained, Father Brian Timby, a couple times, you know, as we're in the back of the church, ready to process in, the music starts. He turns to me and goes like, you're preaching.
Oh, wow.
He did that to me one
he
time.
He really did that?
Yeah, that happened one time.
How'd you do?
I think it was fine.
Okay. Do you remember the homily?
No.
Okay. You didn't do that, Greg.
You know, you're probably, thank you for building up my confidence.
Yeah.
You know, it's. I think there's something about learning to trust the Holy Spirit. But preach, pray, and die, you've always got to have in your back pocket something.
Yeah.
And one of the little things that nuggets that I can talk to anyone about, mm-hmm. And I will use them and say, "Hey, do you have a word for us, Deacon, today? What mm-hmm. word would you preach the word to me today?" Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is one of the kind of go-to things, because I think so many people experience this. But recently I was at, I taught for a while at a Catholic high school mm-hmm. for 3 years. And I was also sort of like the chaplain kind of dude on the campus. Mm-hmm. And so when we were taking tours to like all the new students that were showing up, or giving tours to prospective students, so we'd have these people from all over the place would come in, we'd have these full rooms, and so I'd have to talk to them about the chapel. Mm-hmm. I use it as an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord mm-hmm. In a way that I thought might help them to see that, you know, this might be a good place for them. And I remember the first time I did it, where I've got like maybe 50, 60 kids sitting in front of me in the chapel, and I said, you know, high school is actually a really good place to be. It's really a good place to be, like in a Catholic high school, because I said, you come here and you probably think that we have all the answers and we're going to give you all the answers, and that we firmly and 100% believe all the stuff that we're going to tell you. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to be honest with you at this point, and I'm just speaking for myself, but it's actually very natural and very human to have doubts. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that some of you are wondering, does God actually exist? If God does exist, does he want me to be Catholic, or does he care? Mm-hmm. Is God active in my life, or is he just some distant, like, clockmaker, you know, that winds the thing up and leaves it? Like, and it's like all these things, and I have a feeling that, or had a feeling, and I still kind of think, that high school kids especially are at that age where they're now starting to be, they're thinking on their own mm-hmm. for maybe for the first time.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that a lot of them have doubts. In fact, I know for a fact.
I bet you got a lot of relieved looks on their faces you got to witness.
You know, the first thing was not so much relieved. Mm-hmm. It was like, he's not supposed to be saying that.
Okay.
Because I'm standing up there in front of them with a gray shirt with a collar in it.
They were kind of twisting their heads a little bit, or
does the bishop know he's saying these things?
Right.
But I think that's why it was impactful, and I think it's why I continue to do it, because at the end of the day, you got to meet people where they are, and human beings have doubt, and doubt is normal.
Yeah.
Right? And not just about just generic things, but like the core things.
Yeah.
I think about all the different scripture verses that kind of focus on faith. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 11 is the one where you'll frequently heard about faith quoted, where it's almost like a definition of faith, but it's not a precise definition, but it kind of gives you an inkling. But the author of Hebrews says, faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are like, well, you know, you crazy Christians believe in something you can't prove, mm-hmm. right? So you just, it's like you're believing on a feeling, and that's not what that Hebrews is saying.
Right.
But at the end of the day, that's what a lot of people believe, and so especially young people, but all human beings can have doubt. And I actually think it's healthy to be a little skeptical, mm-hmm. to ask questions, mm-hmm. because otherwise we just blindly accept stuff.
Right.
I mean, I'm looking at you right now, and you're like blindly accepting everything I'm saying.
I am. No, you're right. You're right.
I just think that, like, at the end of the day, we're taught to be, maybe it's our American heritage or something, we're taught to be self-reliant. You know, we hear expressions like pull yourself up by your bootstraps and, mm-hmm. you know, get out there and dust yourself off, or get back on the horse and that make this thing happen, and that we're not supposed to doubt. We're supposed to be strong in our convictions and our beliefs, and you know, I pray for that. Mm-hmm. But it's not always so.
Right.
I stop and think about it. Now, I don't know what the doubts are about, you know, and specifically what you were referring to in your world view in terms of doubts. But I do know for me, I have literally stood 2.5 feet away from Jesus being made present in the Eucharist, mm-hmm. and then catch myself going, wait, God, are you there? Is that
really
you? Well, I mean, think about it. It challenges the very core of our being.
Yeah.
And for someone to say, I absolutely 100% know that's Jesus. Mm-hmm. I know it is. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, I want to go, how can you? And I'm not saying that we should go around saying, I just don't believe any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that at all. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is, as healthy as a human, and to some degree, there is evidence of things not seen. There are things that can lead us in a direction. There are evidences that God is calling us to Him. Mm-hmm. But there is no foolproof thing that you can say or do. No calculation, no mathematical equation. There's no theory. It's all theory. You know, there's no proof for the existence of God. And that's one of those things that people have wrestled with. Now, that doesn't mean I don't believe in God. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's healthy to doubt. I think there's a healthy skepticism.
It's almost an evidence conversation.
Where you're starting to collect things.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think God exists?
Yeah.
Right, and if I were to ask you that, how would you answer that?
Tough. It's a tough answer.
Because, you know, at the end of the day,
tough question.
I'm not sure what I would say, but I guess if I had to, if someone said, well, why do you believe God exists? I would say things like, hindsight is 20/20. Mm-hmm. Right, you can look behind you and you can see more clearly what's happened. And in my mind...
You can see His hand.
Yeah, that's what I see. Mm-hmm. And that invisible hand becomes more visible when you start seeing all the different places that you've been and seen. And so,
it's very difficult to see it, though, through your windshield.
Yeah, it's usually got bird poop on it, right? You know, it's like there's so many things blocking the way, and as you're coming forward, there's so many distractions. Mm-hmm. And yet when you look behind and you can start to see, especially in the momentous times in your life, the life events, the big things, I mean... you just lost your mom.
Yep.
And I've lost my mom, and it's just like these things.
Thanks for preaching them, by the way.
I was happy to do it. I was honored to be asked. And at the end of the day, there's lots of things that happen, and when we're in the middle of that, you know, all we can do is believe.
Yeah.
We're not. Yeah, trust, and we're not going to be looking for evidence.
Right.
Right. And most people are in that category. But a lot of people worry, like those kids at the high school were a little surprised that I was saying that it's okay to be doubtful, because this is exactly what they're experiencing in their lives. And when one of the interesting things that I always tell a little story about is I was teaching 11th and 12th grades. And one of the things that they do at a lot of high schools, but a lot of Catholic high schools, is like by the time they get into 11th and 12th grade, they're having to keep a journal. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a big fan of journals. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm just not a journaler. I don't sit down and start writing my thoughts down. First of all, I don't want somebody to see it.
Is that just a personal thing?
It's just me personally. Okay. Some people love them. I got several people that are,
friends that do that.
That just love to journal. Mm-hmm. And they keep their journals and they hold on to them and whatever, and it's like, that's fine. I'm not knocking it saying that I think it's a worthless endeavor. Mm-hmm. I mean, different people have different ways of doing things, and I'm not a big journaler myself. But it was part of the curriculum, so I had to require them. So what I told the kids, I was honest with them in the classroom, and I said, I don't like to journal. But I'm gonna journal with you. And I said, here's the thing. This is what I want you to do. If you think, don't write what you think I need to read. Mm-hmm. I just want you to be honest about whatever, and whatever you write in that journal is between you and God and me. Mm-hmm. Unless you talk about hurting yourself or somebody else or something like that serious, then we're gonna have to. But other than that, I mean, whatever you write in there, it's not going anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna read it, and so just write something that you feel, something that you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you. In that, I got some good anecdotal evidence that clearly half of the kids that I taught in 11th and 12th grade questioned the belief of God. They're not sure God exists. They're very cynical about the world and all the problems, all the issues. How can God? They take in those arguments about, like, how can a benevolent God allow kids to get cancer? How can a benevolent God allow a hurricane to come and blow through and kill thousands of people, or you know, like these floods in Nepal that just happened?
Oh yeah.
How can a benevolent God do that? And they would write these things down, and so that was an eye opener. And I'm going to say the number's a lot higher, probably up in the 80% range of kids that said that they were no longer going to be Catholic.
They'd
kind of already decided. Now, this wasn't all revealed on the first day.
Yeah.
Because I think I would have, like, been driven to drink
something. Yeah, no kidding, man.
After reading, like, all those
terms. We're talking about a Catholic high school.
Yeah. And so a lot of people make these assumptions that, you know, well, this is where they go and they bolster their faith. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is, it really affected how I taught.
Okay.
It affected how I taught them. And so I started reaching out to them not with... You know, in 325 A.D., in 250 A.D., and Constantine said, and he called together this council, and, the priest Arius said this, and, the Edict of Milan happened in this period. It's like, I didn't even go there in any of those places, and I kind of got in trouble a couple times from the Dominican sisters. God love them. They're really good teachers. It's their charism.
Yeah.
And, but they had this list of things that was like in six-point type, single spaced, on four pages front and back of all the things that you have to cover in high school. And it's like, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to talk to my class about whether or not Jesus exists and if he loves them or not. That's really what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to introduce them to Jesus.
Yeah.
And don't think that I didn't teach any kind of detail.
Yeah.
But the reality is, I knew deep down in my heart, and they had revealed to me that they all had doubts that God existed.
Yeah.
Well, why am I going to talk to them about, like, having them memorize the order of the books of the Bible? Mm-hmm. And I know it's not that simple, and I'm certainly not trying to say the Dominican sisters, that's all they fixate on, because they're very, very, they're lovely, lovely sisters that love Jesus, and they teach that love, especially by their example.
Oh, man.
But at the end of the day, some of these kids don't receive the teaching because in their heart, it's the rocky ground.
Right.
Right? So the seed gets scattered, and it just, like, either springs up and scorches in the sun.
Yeah.
And that's the world that we live in right now. You got these kids that just don't even, they don't believe God exists. Or that if he does exist, the 50% that think he doesn't care.
Right.
That he's not into their personal lives. He's just like sort of like the way a deist would see it. Mm-hmm. Right. So all this is like, this is what has caused me, like when I talk to kids about doubt. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, but I've also, it's like when your text came to me.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what? This is a nice reminder, Holy Spirit. Thank you. That adults, it's okay for adults to doubt.
Yeah. What's interesting is you put it in terms of humans, not just teenagers or not just high school kids or, 50, 60 something year olds. It's everybody.
You're 100% right.
Which is nice to hear.
Well, it's comforting. It's still like...
Because nobody wants to be the Lone Ranger.
No, but also people want to be sure of things.
They do.
I think about our separated brothers and sisters in Christ. I think about the Protestants that we know and love who will sometimes preach on and try to reach out to Catholics by saying, wouldn't you, like, if you died tonight, do you know where you would go?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to know that you're going to heaven?
Be assured.
Be assured. The assurance of salvation.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's this whole idea that, like, you can get rid of the doubt. You can be assured.
Yeah.
Brother, just say this prayer and mean it.
Yeah.
And then live this life. And then you're assured of your salvation. You know, and that's appetizing.
Mm-hmm.
That's tempting. It makes me want to go, like, I sure would like to not have to worry about all this stuff.
Who wouldn't want that?
But at the end of the day, I just wonder, it's like, well, how do you know?
Right.
I happened to see a Facebook reel where it was a Catholic guy talking about, assurance of salvation. He talked about the fact that, like, oh, yeah, I can know. And it's like, so you're telling me you can go your whole life knowing that you're going to heaven and you can live this way. And then, like, when you're in your 50s and you can have everything going well and then you suddenly commit adultery, you leave the faith, you apostatize, you go away. You're saying that person's going to heaven? And then what do they say? And then he said, now this is the Catholic guy talking. He's like, well, then they say, well, then he wasn't saved in the first place.
That's exactly right.
Yes, but the problem...
Which drives me crazy.
Because it's like you're just playing with words at that
point.
Now, I don't want to belittle Protestants who have a faith in
Jesus.
No,
but I've heard that before, too. That's mind-numbing.
Because you're essentially playing word games at some point. So you're not technically assured. You're assured right. for right now until yeah. you apostatize, right?
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing. It's not a healthy way to live. And I would much rather live in the knowledge of trusting in something that you can't possibly be absolutely assured of.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds weird when it comes to God.
Yeah.
But it's like I would rather believe. The way I look at it is this. If I totally understand and can quantify God, what I have done is I've put him in a box.
Mm-hmm.
He is now contained in a box. He has boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, but isn't God supposed to be boundless? Is he supposed to be
yeah.
transcendental and eternal and omnipotent,
yeah.
right? And he's supposed to be everywhere at all times. And it's like, how is that possible? Because as human beings, going back to the human concept, we can't possibly define God mm-hmm. in a way that does justice to who God is. And at the end of the day, I would rather have the God that is a mystery than the God who is not mysterious.
Yeah.
And to be assured of your salvation, there's no mystery there.
Yeah.
And I know this might strike some people in the wrong way. We might get a few emails. Send them. It's okay. At the end of the day, I'm not saying I think everything I'm saying can be justified in Catholic theology and teaching, right?
Yeah.
And that we can be. There are things we can be assured of about God,
yeah.
that he is merciful,
yeah.
right? From evidence that we've seen. We've not seen God being unmerciful, right? We can be assured of his mercy. We can be assured of his forgiveness. We can be assured of his constancy, the fact that he is always there,
mm-hmm.
right? But in terms of our salvation, that's our act towards him.
Mm-hmm.
He did what needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this, again, where our Protestant brothers and sisters will differ with us.
We're responding.
He did all the work. We have to respond in faith.
Yeah.
So he did the act, right? He died for our sins, but we have to respond in faith. Faith is an invitation.
So those doubts that creep into our minds, what I was told was that's the devil whispering in my ear.
So I
believe that.
I think it's probably true. I'm not a big fan of the people that think that the devil is right around every corner
and
is constantly trying to knock
that.
You down. But I do believe firmly and fervently that the devil exists, and the devil goes towards wherever the weakest link is in the chain. He's going to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a chink in the armor. There's going to be something that he's going to maximize. He's going to be like a wedge and move in, and he's going to try to create a divide and split you in half.
Keep prying open.
Yeah, and so I do think in that sense the devil loves division. The devil loves questions, doubts, mm-hmm. et cetera, and can actually feed those a little bit. But that doesn't mean that you have to succumb to that and suddenly
go,
how can we ever know? We can't know, so therefore. So then when you say therefore, you've made a decision. You've made a commitment not to believe something, and that's a problem. I think that becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's another element of this I wanted to be able to. I don't know if we're going to have time to get into all of this because this is turning into a.
You're a professional. You can do it, Deej.
I'll do my best. But, you know, when someone says they want to. You went through football training and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, in the hot weather, you go like,
this time of year. Oh, golly.
You remember we went to the funeral and there's people out there
we watched
practicing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 101.
Dreading it. Yeah, just watching it.
So, but you know about what it is to get in shape, right? And if you look at me and go like, Deacon Jeff, you could probably build a little muscle mass, you know? Your muscles have all fallen south. You know, they're hanging around your waist, right? And the thing is, you need to build up muscle mass. And so I go like, you know what, Tom? You're exactly right. That's why you're venerable. You are right. I need to build up muscle mass. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to do 20 push-ups. I can't do 20. I'll do 10. I'm going to do 10 push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see me tomorrow, I'm going to have some serious guns. I'm going to be like a change. I'm a new man.
Right.
And you and I both know that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
It's this long, arduous process, this continual moving forward, even when all the signs, all of nature says stop, just stop, rest. This is too hard. You need to sit down in the recliner. What are you doing? You're sweating. Drink a cold drink and just relax.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But if you want to build up the muscle mass, you have to have a regimen that you're going to continue to do, and the regimen is not going to have instantaneous results.
Mm-hmm.
So in the way I look at like doubt is that it takes a regimen of life. It takes a regimen of belief. It takes a regimen of prayer, of constancy, of like going like, look, all the signs that I look in the rearview mirror and see are that when I did these things, good things happen. When I did these things, bad things happen. I'm going to avoid the things that cause the bad things. And so this is also about like sort of Ignatian spirituality, mm-hmm. consolations and desolations, if you're familiar with the topic. So I'm going to follow the things that bring consolations, the things that make me feel closer to the Lord. It's our cursio.
Right.
You know, how do you feel? When did you feel closest to Christ?
Yeah.
Those are good things to repeat and do. And if you build your life around a regimen of these things, it's amazing how strong your faith becomes. Mm-hmm. Right? So faith and works. Again, we're beating up on the Protestants here, and I don't intend to dissuade them in any way and get them all upset. But I will say this. You know, Catholics, I love our theology of both and. It's not either or. It's not faith or works. We don't believe that it's certainly just works. And we don't, but we also don't fall into the trap of thinking it's only faith.
Faith alone.
That works in love, right? So these works are in building my faith. This faith is causing me to want to work. And together, harmoniously, they raise us up. They raise all boats, mm-hmm. right? The tide that raises all boats. And this is what happens in your life. And so build a regimen. If you have doubts, which are normal and natural, build a regimen of things that you know that work, of things that you know. And I promise you, you stop worrying and let the doubts don't overtake you. They don't overcome you. That's when the devil wins, right? When they overcome you and they go like, I'm doubting this stuff too. And too many bad things have happened and it's causing me to want to leave the faith. And the thing is, don't fall to that. Don't just keep doing the regimen of good things that lead you closer to Christ, closer to God. Spend time with the friends that help you know that God loves you because they love you, right? Mm-hmm. And so these are all the little things we can do. It's okay to have doubts. It's healthy to have doubts. Just don't let the doubts overcome you.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.